B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Mass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down, the kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! Allen will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime! 26-23, it's over, and the Superdome is silent.
Get back at it, Rams, Patriots, that's how the Rams got here. This is going to be a topic on 10 questions with Batista if he showed up, but best special teams play of the weekend, and there was a lot. There's a lot of big kicks that were made in this weekend. I think they all made them. Did anyone miss a single kick this weekend?
No.
Not that I can think of. No, now that you mention it, no.
Your guy made his.
No, Gostkowski was clean.
Kansas City guy goes out there with the Super Bowl on the line, makes a kick to send it to overtime. This Zuerlein, what do they call him?
Legatron.
I mean, he's got a massive leg. He's had a big leg since he came in the league.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I think...
Oh, Belichick will gush at him and Johnny Hecker, the punter.
Oh, my God.
Remember in 2015? He gave like a 20-minute soliloquy on him.
Priapism, as a previous caller said.
Well, yeah, no. He wasn't putting dishes in the dishwasher that day.
No. Well, it depends what you call it. But either way. That Zuerlein, that 57 yards to go to the Super Bowl, and that was good. I know that's a stupid cliche, but that was good from 67.
Oh, definitely.
I was going to say 70. He hit the net halfway up.
Bomb.
He crushed it. Absolutely freaking crushed it.
It was a bad snap, too.
Right down the middle. Yeah, Hecker had a good hold there. They might have the best kicking tandem in the league when you really look at it. Like punter-kicker combo, there probably isn't a better team in the league than the Rams. I don't know about the return guys, and I don't know about their coverage units, but their kickers are excellent.
So Edelman got bailed out of a bad, muff there with the review. But other than that, like, I think special teams, you gave up a bunch of return yards as usual. But just the kicks... Kansas City guy makes his kick. New Orleans guy makes his kick. The Zuerlein bomb to win the game.
And the Rams faked a punt.
Great throw by Hecker. I mean, it was good special teams over the weekend.
Yeah.
Which play from the little weenies, which you're not used to. So we're back at it today. More reaction to the Patriots win in Kansas City. Also going over some of the bigger picture things we left to the side yesterday, like league stuff. Should pass interference be reviewable? Should roughing the passer be reviewable? Should both teams get a chance at the ball in overtime? On that last one, I think that they should change the overtime, not necessarily for both teams to get a chance, but they should just take the sudden death out of it, make it a 10-minute period, and have them go 10 minutes, and that effectively will give that other team a second chance, at least one other chance at the ball, which is something Bill proposed and talked about years ago, and I agree with. I'm going to make it more entertaining 10 minutes as well. A lot more strategy, a lot more game stuff, and it would, in this era of offense, not just have it come down to a coin flip, because that's what this last game did. No one was stopping anyone. And so it came down to whoever won that coin flip. And that's, I don't know, I think that's a tough way to go. These guys disagree with me. Is the Patriots being back in the Super Bowl good or bad for the league? I think we're split on this. You all think it's good.
I do. Yeah. I think it's good because I think the Patriots are polarizing. And so anything polarizing typically is going to get a reaction, which is what you want. And also, the casual football fan's going to be there. Brady transcends all of it now. I mean, this is like, to me, is the, again, he's the Jordan of football, if you ask me. Anybody who is just loosely connected, and people are going to watch the game anyway, but I think Brady's a draw. I think he's a huge draw.
Yeah, and on the other side, sports needs a villain. And outside of this region, people will be vehemently rooting against this team to see if they will lose another one, and they'll want to pile on. So I think it's good that they're back.
I do think there's something that to this Super Bowl that we're going to see down there, which is there's going to be more Brady love than there's been in the past. That in the past has been, we're sick of the Patriots, we can't stand the Patriots enough, and now it's going to be, this guy's unbelievable. 41 years old, they look like they were having a bad year, and he's back again. And he went 5 for 5 on third down in the championship game in the fourth quarter in overtime. I think you're going to see more, genuflecting at Brady in this Super Bowl than we've seen in other ones.
Okay, outside of the villainy and people rooting against you, and they are, there's Patriots fatigue out there. And, you know, I just think when any one team just gets that dominant and that ubiquitous, it's not good for the league. But, you know, it's not going to hurt the ratings. The ratings are going to be there no matter what teams are in. I mean, the game is sort of foolproof. So it's not like it's going to affect that. It's just in terms of overall buzz. It's just how many times can you write the Patriots story? How many times can you go to that well? There's just sort of less things to cover and hit on or that people want to hear about. So I don't think it's great for the league. Is Los Angeles being in the game good or bad for the league?
Bad.
They have no fans. Give me your prediction to get on the TV ratings.
Oh, I'm willing to bet that when you look at the local TV ratings for this game and going city by city now, LA is not in the top two. And it should be because they're in the game and they have a massive population. It should be in the top two. It should be Boston and L.A. that have the two highest local TV ratings, as they would in any sport when teams are playing for a championship. In this Super Bowl, I'm willing to bet no. Because I don't think the people out there, as their want and their history, I don't think they give a rat's ass. So I bet you some other place like Dallas or, you know, New York or Chicago or whatever, one of those is going to have a higher rating than L.A.
See, I'm torn on this one. I think in the league offices, they're probably pumped because they're obviously trying to promote the L.A. thing. It's the reason there's two stupid teams there. But I think for right now, it's a little premature and early because they don't have a fan base.
Yeah, but for them building one, this is about the next 30 years in L.A. I think it's great for the league. They want L.A. to succeed. It's a huge untapped market. It's like, how do you grow? A league that's made that much money and shown this much growth, where do you grow? How do you grow? You know, they'd have to move to Europe to grow. They'd have to move to Mexico to grow. They've tapped out domestically. Except for Los Angeles. I mean, it's so hard for an entity that's grown that much to be this big, to continue to experience growth. They have the opportunity with the second biggest TV market that was untapped for 20 years. And if that team in the first 2-3 years goes to the Super Bowl and gets a foothold, oh, that's a huge win for the league.
Oh, it's certainly easier to build if you have a winner, like right off the, you know, right from the jump. So,
I think that is good for, I mean, not for my league, like I don't care. But I'm just telling you, for their business interests, yeah. L.A. being viable is huge.
See, I just, my personal opinion is L.A. is a lost cause. I just don't think the people there give a rat's ass. But that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, you dump on L.A.
I hate L.A. people.
I know you do.
I hate L.A. people. Hate them.
It's not as bad as you think.
It's not an absolute. I've met a couple people out there that I half like. But generally speaking, what L.A. is and what it stands for, can't stand it. They can go pound sand as far as I'm concerned.
What interests you most about the Super Bowl matchup? To me, it's McVay. And it's not just, you know, the coaching matchup, but like, I mean, Bill does interest me. It's like, you know, I've been there. I know the Bill thing. I know that part of the story. What interests me is, does this kid have the ability to game plan and scheme against Belichick? There's not many who can. And this kid has gotten a tremendous amount of hype. And I feel like it's worth it because in 2 years, he's gotten his team from nothing to the Super Bowl. And so I think McVay, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's a real deal, but it feels like on the outside he is. Does he have the goods to really go toe-to-toe with Belichick? That fascinates me.
I mean, to me, it's the coaching matchup. You know, again, as it's sort of when we discussed it earlier for a bit, to me, it's the Belichick of today against the guy who might be the Belichick of tomorrow.
Definitely. Old genius versus the new genius.
Yeah, look.
It's already the national narrative.
I mean, I know people don't give a rat's ass about the, you know, the Rams game from 17 years ago, but Martz was like this offensive wizard and the Patriots went beat him. And now you've got a guy. Hell, teams are patterning their coaching searches after McVay.
If you smelled one of his farts, you're getting jobs. Seriously, all you do is be in his orbit.
No, Cliff Kingsbury knows Timothy.
Met him.
Good grief, Sean McVay.
Met him.
Tim McVay.
Yeah, no, that's the wrong.
Yeah, wrong McVay. Different spelling,
wrong
too.
Wrong guy.
Yeah, much different place
wrong
in history.
Wrong guy. So either way, like that's, you know, that's really it for me. So off and running. Your thoughts, everybody. Some of you have been waiting patiently. Stephen Raleigh on the pass interference thing. Quickly.
Yeah, hi. I'm talking about the non-call in the New Orleans game. I got an easy solution. All you got to do is have the guys in New York, the replay officials, they're watching the same thing we're watching, and when they see the replay and how bad it is, all they're going to do is ring down to the referee and say, hey, take a look at this play.
So, Steve.
That's the...
No, I mean, I agree, but then how do you write that rule? So now you got to... You just can't have them arbitrarily do that. There has to be a rule on the books that says the replay official may intercede if... ... Tell me ...
Okay, so let's start with the final 2 minutes of each half.
Okay. All right, so game-changing kind of play. If it happens with 3.5 minutes left, you're SOL. That's going to piss people off, but go.
Okay, so, and now look, after that, it gets gray. I'm just, you know, because again, I think there is a problem there in terms of when do you intervene and when do you not. I'm just saying that if you want to eliminate scenarios, you immediately put the clock on it.
I just don't know how you... I just don't know how you write the rule to our. No one wants them going over all these pass interference calls on replay. It's just that would be stupid.
So, you know, I like the idea, and Paul Perillo of Patriots Foot Weekly touched on this too. The idea that you get one
penalty challenge.
One penalty challenge. Yeah. Again, and you have to be, you know, maybe you're limited as to when you use it or not. I don't know. But that's it. You get one. And in order for it to be deemed, you know, successful challenge, the call has to be egregious.
And let me ask you.
In the eyes of the replay official.
So now this is only to challenge called plays. That's not what happened in New Orleans. There was no call. Can you throw a flag for them to call a penalty that wasn't there? And if you're doing that, are we doing that on the offensive line? Because then what I do is I wait for the last play of the game and throw that puppy every time because I can find an offensive lineman holding somewhere on a play. You want to open up that can of worms?
No, so I don't. But again, so you don't include holding. You make it just pass interference.
Okay.
Like, you know, you're going to have to limit it in scope. And listen, I recognize it opens a can of worms. I'm not telling you I have the answer. I'm just saying that it wouldn't surprise me if they put in something like that.
Cam and Taunton,
you get one.
Cam and Taunton, the thought of the day. You okay there, Cam?
I'm good. I'm sorry. Just dealing with a little bit of a situation.
Hold on. What situation could he possibly have been dealing with?
I don't know. I want to hear. I want to hear that again.
Can we just hear it, please? Do you mind?
Is he yelling at someone? Is he yelling at I wonder if Cam would actually tell us what it was.
I think he ball gagged someone.
Someone interrupted and he's like angry at them or what? I want to know.
I don't know what that was.
I want the story. There's a story behind that murmur.
I want to hear it.
Call his cat over?
I'm just saying that it wouldn't surprise me if they put in something like that.
Cam and Taunton,
you get one.
Sorry, Cam, what was that?
I was just dealing with, Murray hit it. It was my cat. He was trying to fight something.
Okay.
On Gostkowski, you guys just hit the nail on the head. I mean, we were all worried about him going into this game. I mean, the first extra point was a little close, but after that, he split the uprights every kick. On that conditions and those on that field, I think that was a great time because they were all bombs, too, because they were still rising going through the uprights. He had a great day.
So you're no longer worried about Steven Gostkowski?
I think yesterday was a step in the right direction. I want to see him do it in 2 weeks, but I think the other day was a step in the right direction. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, everything else is coming up, Patriot. So, you know,
I'm still worried.
Add him to the list.
Yeah, me too. I'm worried about it.
Okay.
And I don't think it was just one extra point. There were a couple that sneaked in through that left upright. That now, to his credit, he nailed the field goal. I'll give him that.
Jefferson in Foxborough. Hi.
Hey, what's up, man? I had a call again, guys. Listen, as far as all that PI nonsense, it's 2 minutes left in regulation or in overtime. It should go to the guy up in the booth. What's his name? Rivera or something. Cause for concern with the L.A. Rams. They remind me of the New York Giants. Very average QB. Great running game. Solid weapons. Great D-line. Our offensive line needs to continue to step up and be the MVP, as they stated earlier in the show on the earlier call.
Okay, Jefferson. I don't remember you calling.
I don't. To me, they're not. The Giants' defensive line was better.
Of course.
Like now, the two tackles here, and I consider Donald really more of a tackle than an end because he's an absolute force that can dominate on the inside as well as the out. So the two guys there, Sue and Donald, I mean, they're maulers. The two of them, absolute forces. Again, the interior there is going to be huge. If I'm the Patriots, I don't mess with it. Why mess with it? Attack him on the perimeter.
We continue with your thoughts here, Felger and Maz.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Andy Reid on the overtime format. I do love the Patriots sensitivities. I do. The crying, even though you won. If someone thinks that the current overtime format is not equitable, that you somehow think they're, I don't know, crying because the Patriots won, or when Bill Belichick himself, years ago, your coach, suggested just making the overtime period non-sudden death, he suggested a change. Not necessarily so both teams get the ball, but that's probably how it would work out in most games. But just an overtime period that was not sudden death. That would then force these coaches into more strategy decisions, timeouts, clock, the whole thing. And that was his suggestion. Because I think probably at his core, he did feel it was probably something inequitable of a coin toss ending a game, which is what happened in this last one. Maybe it was back at the time when it was a field goal. Maybe it was before they made that change to it's got to be a touchdown that ends the game. Probably was. Because at that point, it was getting goofy, right? We could just, you know, get two first downs and you're Legatron there kicks a 57-yarder and there's your game. That was a little much. But I think the whole league is trending in that direction as well. It's getting that much with these offenses. And you're the four top offenses in the league. Four top offenses. And I would love it to say, well, just get a stop. Well, who gets stops anymore? We've all acknowledged. I certainly hear it from Patriots fans all the time when the Patriots can't play defense and they're sucking on defense during the year. What do we hear? Well, no one can play defense. No one's stopping anybody. All right, so if that's the case, why do you want these big games to come down to a coin flip? Give the other side a chance. Give them a chance.
Now, look, as I'm never this guy, you know that, because typically, like I always say, if anything, the whiny Patriots fans make my enjoyment of the team a little bit less, unfortunately. But I don't remember this kind of outcry after Russell Wilson and the Seahawks ended up beating your Packers in the NFC Championship game like 4 or 5 years ago, or when Tim Tebow threw that bomb to win it against Pittsburgh. Like,
well, I think you did. If you were in those places, you probably would have.
This is like a national thing, though. Again, a lot of this outcry is coming from a lot of the same type of people that are just tired of the Patriots. They're tired of Tom Brady. They're tired. They're tired. They want this team to go the hell away because it's near 20 years of this, and they're sick of it. So I get it. Just be more transparent about it.
Yeah, to me, it's still – I don't think it's a trend yet. Yet. Because, again, you had two championship games over the Saints got the ball first. They didn't win because the Rams stopped them. And I do think in the playoffs – that they put the whistles away at least a little bit more than they would during the regular season. They don't put them away. I mean, we know that. But the fact is that they allow for more defense, more physicality. They allow for it. And the Chiefs' defense, in this case, sucked all year. It's not like it was a one-time thing.
So I know you're not coming from the Patriots standpoint. I just think from a Patriots standpoint,
I hear you.
It's pretty easy for you all to say when you've never lost a playoff overtime coin flip under Tom Brady. Which, again, blew me away. I never considered it, but it's true. In Tom Brady's time here, 20 years, 17 years, whatever we're going on, he has never had to stand on the sidelines and watch his crappy defense try and win him a game in overtime in the playoffs. He's never had to do it. So no wonder you like it the way it is.
Well, quit your whining. Make a stop.
Easy for you to say. You've never had to make a stop. Earth, Wind, Moreland was never put on the field to help win you a playoff game in overtime. You never had to do that. Okay, Jordan Richards was never put out there in overtime to win you a game while Tom Brady was standing on the sidelines. How would you like the rules then?
Thank heavens for that.
If Tom Brady's standing on the sidelines with his helmet in his hand and your fate is in the hands of Jordan Richards because of a coin flip, you've never experienced that. Experience that once and then get back to me and tell me, well, just make a stop. I would have liked to have seen you make a stop. How are you making stops at the end of that ball game? For good Lord, you had a three-point lead with 39 seconds left. They only had one timeout, and they went through you no problem. No problem they went through you for a chip-shot field goal to tie the thing. You think you were stopping them in overtime? Paul said it before. If Pats lose the flip, you know, we're singing a whole different story today. So I just don't want it to come down to that. And I don't think Bill does either. And I sort of like his idea. More strategy decisions on those overtimes. But that's my take today. And you think I'm crying in my milk because I was ball gagged today. Maybe I am. Maybe I am, if I'm being honest. John in New Orleans. Hi, John. What do you got?
Well, I can tell you guys for sure there's one area outside of Boston where the fans are going to be cheering big time for the Pats.
Where, John?
New Orleans. Louisiana. Oh, believe me, we're pulling for the Patriots, besides being big fans of Tom Brady. Yeah.
Okay, there you go, John. They're just because they hate the Rams because they got the call?
I guess.
I don't want to wait for him to finish his thought. He was taking too long.
Yeah, way too long. Here's what I would tell John and the rest of the people in New Orleans. You should have won more than one title by now. Your coach and your quarterback have some serious answering to do. So you can blame all you want the refs. It's fine. You got jobbed on the call. You did. How long have they been together now and they have one title? And last year, they gagged in the NFC or the NFC divisional round. And this time, you were up 13-0 and you gagged in the NFC championship game at home. At home. So tell me if you're still rooting for the Patriots now.
Keep listening. Ned in North Carolina, he's up next on Felger and Maz. Hi, Ned. Oops, this is my fault.
I have no idea how much you guys are appreciated for the tens of thousands of displaced New Englanders, because I've been down here in Jacksonville, North Carolina since 1983 when I joined the Marine Corps, and I am so appreciative for you guys. Mike, Maz, Jim, you guys keep me going. There's such joy and such comfort. I moved from Whiskey Point in Brookline, Massachusetts in 1983, and I'm listening to you guys. It just makes me emotional. I'm so appreciative.
Okay, thank you,
but
Ned.
Look, thank you, guys. For the preservation of the balance and the beauty of the game, the mixture between offense and defense, our human inflection is to change and implement these new rules. The best games in NFL history are the tough defenses. If we go for a new change with an offense-centric league, more offense? Is that what we want?
That's too late, Ned. That's what the league is. This is the thing. If the league was geared, if the league gave defenses a chance, I'd say fine, go make a stop. You don't need to share possessions. You don't need to take away sudden death. Leave it as it is because the defenses have a straight shot. They don't. They don't have a fair chance. It's heavily stacked in favor of the offense, so that just puts too much weight on that coin flip.
Yeah, I look at the two games this weekend, though, and I say the defense won one of them. I mean, the team that didn't win the toss won the game, the Rams. And so I just don't think it's a trend yet. Could it be going that way? Sure. Now, I always have a hard time comparing regular season and postseason because I think they're different. So in the playoffs, it feels to me like they're letting defenses grab more. They're being more physical. So I feel like they're giving defenses more of a chance. Hell, really, up until the second half of the Patriots game, both of the games were going under. Right? It really exploded late in the Patriots game. So I don't want to hear Patriots fans bitching about it either. I just don't know that it's a trend yet.
Carlton in Tampa. Hi, Carlton.
That jackwagon, pathetic Patriots fan who claims that Tom Brady knew the D-Ford lined up in the neutral zone is why 99% of Americans are going to be rooting for the Los Angeles Rams in 2 weeks' time. They go to a close-up of Brady after the interception, after the ball gets fumbled out of bounds, and he's crestfallen. The average Patriots fan is stupid. I mean, just completely stupid. But, you know, the reason why Bill Belichick doesn't think there's any parallels with the first Super Bowl against the Rams is the filming angles for the walkthrough are completely different at Raymond James Stadium than at Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But what I really called about today, guys, is this absolute crap about the Brady-Belichick new kumbaya. If D. Ford doesn't line up in the neutral zone, Tom Brady has a 63.2 passer rating and three interceptions, and Bill Belichick has spent the last 2 days saying, see, I was right. We should have held on to Garoppolo and traded Tommy Boy's behind out of here. And it's only for the moment that Bill is on Tom Brady's side. Wake up, Brady. Don't take the cheese. This is the guy who stabbed you in the back for Deflategate, and he's going to get your butt up and out of there as soon as he gets the opportunity, Tommy Boy.
Okay, Carlton. It's going to be a long 2 weeks, buddy. And we haven't hit on it today. I don't feel like hitting on it. But the Brady Belichick, nothing to see here tour the last couple days, it's felt a little forced to me. I don't know. How did this all of a sudden become a topic?
I have no idea. I mean, nobody's changing my mind. The palace coup was real.
Because they hugged on the field.
On the field, and some of the audio that leaked out from that, NBC Sports Boston had it on their Twitter page too, was that you hear Brady say to him, I love you, man, or something like that. He says, I love you.
They're so big into the I love you.
Yeah, so which leads me to believe that Belichick was in his ear, and you don't hear him, I love you. So, you know, it's like, oh, okay. I thought there was the palace coup. Believe me, I've gotten the emails and tweets. Blah, see? Like, I get it. And in Bill's interview, he apparently said, it's nothing but gossip. Okay.
Well, so, I mean, it is. And I think they've come together this year a little bit. I think they've, straightened some things out. But, I don't know, the whole thing feels forced to me, by the way. It just does.
Of course it's forced. The whole thing was real. The palace queue was real. Don't kid yourself.
Here's Murray.
Winning's the best deodorant ever, as Gasper has told us.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No. I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosie. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Is. That's how you got here. We continue with your reaction. That game on Sunday was worth a couple days. We can give you maybe 3 days on it. Is the big boy back? Have we heard?
Yes. He's supposed to be here tomorrow.
He tweeted it took him 22 hours, but he is back home.
The big fella couldn't get it. Logan was a total bleep show for whatever reason the last couple days. I mean, I know the weather was bad, but we've had worse. And it just shut the hole. I don't get it. But anyway, so the big boy there, Greg Bedard, couldn't get out of Kansas City. He somehow got to Charlotte. Sort of that became the end of the line. He couldn't move out of Charlotte, and so he rented a car and drove. And he's finally returned?
Yes, 22 hours is what he tweeted.
I knew I should have opened a drive-thru. Seriously, the big boy's on the road? Anyway, go ahead.
So the big boy's back tomorrow, Bedard, 2-4. He'll give us a film breakdown. But again, the Patriots-Chiefs game was such an epic. I think it's worth 2-3 days, no problem.
Oh, for sure. I mean, again, it's one of the all-timers. Like, you know what? I may even make a list tonight of the 5-10 greatest games in this Patriots run. This one's on it. This game was unbelievable.
Okay, so we got more on that tomorrow. We've gotten just some spin-off topics about, you know, the pass interference stuff, the overtime rules. That's what we've been doing today. We'll finish it up with your reaction here. Chris in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, guys. I've never been so angry at Carlton. He took it. He took the thunder. I wanted to talk about the Palace Q. I know you saw that on my call board because I wanted you guys to opinion. I just heard him. I'm sorry about that. You guys are right. Fine. It's all bull crap. But who said it first, Brady or Belichick? And secondly, does Wade Phillips own Brady? I'm sorry, Wade Phillips' defense own Brady in during the year?
What was your first question? Because your comment line says Patriots future.
No. My comment line was about Palace Q.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just find it forced now that it's like now it's just gossip and nothing to see here. When Belichick, Brady, and their camps were squealing to anyone who would listen all last year, like, where do you think those stories came from? They came from those guys or their camps or their people. And now it's like, oh, gossip. Just, all right, whatever, dude. What was his other question?
About Wade Phillips' defenses.
So Wade Phillips, Brady has historically owned Wade Phillips.
4-2 is the record.
Okay, but he had owned his ass until that AFC title game in Denver.
When they didn't blitz.
And Wade Phillips threw a total, you know, switcheroo at Brady. Phillips is a big blitzer, zone blitzer, you know, all different angles. He sends a house. Like, he's been a very, very aggressive blitzing defensive coordinator. And Brady usually tears that up. He's torn that up historically. And so in that AFC title game in Denver, Phillips laid off. And he still got to Brady with the snap count issues and the crowd noise and Von Miller and all of that. But it was a really good defensive game plan. So Wade Phillips got him the last time. I don't know what that means for this time, but Wade Phillips got him for one of the few times the last time they faced each other.
Yeah, again, different kind of defense. They have stout defensive tackles. Again, I still consider Donald more inside than outside. But, you know, to me, that's going to be the key matchup of the game. Patriots offensive line against the Rams defensive line.
Here's Frank and Sandwich. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys, a real simple rule for overtime. I can't believe nobody does it. All you do is you guarantee both teams at least one offensive snap from scrimmage. That's it. Every other scenario plays out. Every other possible outcome is accounted for. It's simple. It's clean. And I can't believe nobody's even considered it yet.
Okay. I think that's fine. I mean, that's people have. I mean, by saying getting the other team a possession, that's what you're saying. If they fumble the kickoff, though, they don't get a chance to snap offensively.
No, that's right.
So the kickoff counts as a snap. that's one way to do it. Again, this wasn't my idea. It was Bill's. Just take out the sudden death and give me a mini quarter of football with all those decisions and game plan variations and things you got to count for on the clock and the timeouts and all of that. And I like that too. I like that the most, in fact. But if the league's going to be that offensive, it's just they're asking for trouble. You've had too many playoff games. I mean, Murray mentioned them, and I'm sure it was mentioned at the time. You got an NFL playoff game, and Roethlisberger never gets a chance at the ball, or Aaron Rodgers never gets a chance at the ball, and you've never experienced this, but just wait. Sooner or later, Patriots fans, I know it doesn't feel this way, but eventually it's going to come up tails. Eventually, Matt Slater's going to walk out there and say heads for his dad, and it's going to come up tails. And your defense is going to be on the field, and Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, is going to be sitting there with his helmet and his shoulder in his hands while, you know, this, you know, Daron Harmon and Jonathan Jones and Lawrence Guy are out there trying to win you a championship or a playoff game. And you're going to come out of that game and you're going to say, well, this doesn't look right. Why don't they give both chances to side with the ball? I know that's what you'd be saying. You've just never experienced it. It's been 20 years since you've experienced it. But I don't think it's unreasonable to ask that as well. I mean, here, let's play an overtime basketball game, but Jordan doesn't get a chance to touch the ball. Or we're going overtime hockey, but Ovechkin and Crosby stay on the bench. I know these are loose analogies, but I don't know. I think there's something to it. Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
God forbid, Felger, that defenses would hold in your scenario of 7, 10, or 15 minutes. And if they would hold, aren't we still going to have to go to some kind of a sudden death?
Play another one. Play another one. Play another period. I have no problem with that. I'm not worried about football games being too long. I'm worried about baseball and hockey, playoff hockey, going too long. I think those games get absurd, baseball especially, but I'm not even a fan of the overtime hockey anymore. It's like, enough. Seven-game series, enough. Settle the thing. Football, I've never said that. Play as long as you want. I don't care. Football games, to me, never go too long. They don't drag.
Tell you what, I want to do some research on this because I want to find out how many of these games are ending as a result of the coin flip. You know, there were two ties during the regular season this year in the NFL, which means nobody scored.
Right.
So the defenses actually, you know, did their jobs. I just, you know, I want to find out more statistically. The league's going offensive. That's indisputable.
Did the defenses do their jobs, or was there a game in Cleveland where the guy missed like three kicks? And
oh, yeah,
there was that. Cleveland-Pittsburgh, yeah, that was a lot of shanks there.
Weren't there a couple like that?
Okay, but again, it wasn't the result of a touchdown.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So maybe it was just overplayed because it happened in this last weekend, but... Michelle is in Milton. She's up next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. I'm calling to see and get your opinion on whether or not you think the pass interference no call in the NFC Championship game would benefit the Patriots in the Super Bowl in terms of officiating being tighter on calls against the Rams or that particular player even.
We talked about that earlier, Michelle. It's hard to figure. It's not like, I'll tell you this, if there was a Rams-Saints rematch this week, absolutely. Like, I'd say absolutely that's on the table. There's going to be just human nature is going to be one to make good on the Saints. Except they're not playing the Saints. They're playing a Patriots team who got a lot of breaks from the officials too. The Patriots, you know, officiating was, unfortunately too big a part of that game, I felt, in the Patriots' favor. So if the league is, you know, wants to make good on the Rams, they got to make good on you too. So it's sort of a wash in that regard. I just don't think it works that way.
I don't think there's going to be a carryover.
If this were, you know, in basketball, a seven-game series, and that, you know, non-interference call happened in game three, look out in game four. Like, we all know what would happen there.
I mean, the damage is done. Like, the damage is done. It's not the same two teams anymore. It's over. And the other thing is, if we're going to go down this road, so now you start talking about, you know, will the league intervene? What if the league wants the Rams to win? If that's what that was about in New Orleans. I mean, like, you were saying it's good for the league, and it makes a lot of sense, right? That the league now has a championship team in Los Angeles for the first time in a long time. Why would they stop now? They get them into the big game. They're going to put on the brakes and screw them? Like, you know, if I were a Patriots fan, there you go. As if the Patriots fans need to give them some sort of conspiracy theory that the league's out to get them.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I take that back.
Please.
Hey, crap, I don't even realize what I just did.
Why did you do that?
I take it back.
Mac in Anaheim.
Because you psychos will believe it.
Go, Mac.
Felger, your take dug in everywhere on the Patriots, huh? But 2 weeks ago, you were like, oh, the Chargers, they're going to strike gold in L.A. Oh. And this week, you guys say the Rams, they can't even have any fans here, when at the very least, the Rams have some fans. Not with the competition with the Cowboys, Raiders fans. And there's two reasons why that is. One, or about L.A. people. One is those teams are cultural. And two is there's a high immigrant community here, so they don't care about sports ball.
They don't care about sports ball.
Right. So you're going to have your sports fans. You're going to have the Rams fans, Cowboys, Raiders, and a few others. But there's just a lot of people that come here to make money.
Okay. Well, and all I'm telling you is they're investing a lot in Los Angeles. So if their teams are good, that's good for the league. That's all I'm saying. Okay. The demographics of Los Angeles, the hardcore nature of their fans, all true. But the point is the league is there. Okay. So the league is there. They're building a stadium like that's going to knock your balls off. You wouldn't believe this facility. It's like a $1 billion facility. It's going to house all their broadcasting stuff. It's going to be like Disneyland. It's going to be like NFL World Headquarters Disneyland. That's going to house two teams in the second biggest market in the country. That's where they are. Whether their fans are hardcore fans or the demographic supported or not, they're there. So it would behoove the league for the teams to be good and relevant. Thus, it's good for the league that their teams have been good and one's going to Super Bowl. My only point.
Yeah, listen, again, I'm not going to dispute that side of it. I just tell Mac in L.A., the reason that it doesn't work is because your fans suck. So there, Mac, like, you can give me all the excuses you want. Your fans out there for pro sports suck.
They don't suck that bad.
Yes, they do. They do.
What's really hard for them is getting around. It's an impossible place to get around. But the Dodgers have a big and loyal fan base. The L.A. Raiders did excellent there. They were great in L.A. A beloved team, part of the fabric. Drew well, did well, the whole thing. Okay? I mean, the Lakers are a force. I mean, the L.A. is a fine... L.A. is not Orlando. You treat L.A. like it's Boca. It's not. It's like a real city.
How come football teams keep leaving there?
Because there's too much other stuff, cool stuff to do. That's what it is.
Right, because they go surfing. Their fans suck.
Not as much as you're portraying. This is not Phoenix.
They'd rather... No, it's, I didn't say it was Phoenix. But for a city that is, you know, the second biggest market in America or in the top handful, depending on what the latest numbers are, it should be a force, and it's not. When it comes to football, it should be a force. They'd rather watch USC.
Maz has an anti-LA bias.
Yep. No, you're right. I hate LA.
What's the final word? Is it a ball gag Tuesday, or are we done with that?
It's completely up to you. Otherwise, Jimmy says we have a lot of material, but if you want to get
no,
to
no, the- no, no. If we got other material, we did the ball gag thing. So, final words, some surprises for you coming up right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place
Nobody.
To go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best
Nobody.
Prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So a couple of pieces of sound to get to. We should revisit the ball gag thing that you did with Tim McCone, because it is a ball gag Tuesday here on Felger and Maz. We'll get to that, but we had a When Hosts Aren't Listening from yesterday's show.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Tom in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, real quick, I just want to talk about Edelman for a minute. I don't think that he gets the kind of credit he deserves to be in. How freaking tough that kid is, man.
Yeah, tough. Are they starting to add up, though, a little bit? I mean, that the decision on that punt, though, is horrific. He drops a ball for an interception. He had, you know, as many drops this year as I've ever seen him have in his life. Do you think those hits are you know, again, starting to add up a little bit?
Yes. Yep, and again, you said the punt play, the interception too. Did you mention that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
oh god, yeah. When hosts aren't listening,
it's okay.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
It's a little difficult.
Yeah, that wasn't a clear cut one. Yeah.
Well, no, and I admit it. I knew right away.
All right, and well, for those that missed it earlier, here it is. If you want to set this up, Mike, you came in a little bit early and did this with Tim McCone. Is that
McCone
correct?
Ball gagged me. I said in August that if the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, Brady takes him to the Super Bowl, McCone can take me in the corner, take off my clothes, and ball gag me. And so I let him take off my clothes and ball gag me today.
Tight. I want it tight.
I want you to hurt me, phone. I want you to hurt.
We'll give you one more.
Okay, tight. I want you to be clean. I want you to look good.
And then,
because this is down here. Do this. Come on, the bone. Do it. Jesus.
Safe word is Sony Michelle. If it's too tight, just say that.
I thought you were a ball guy before. Come on. Make it
hurt. I don't even know where this
Make goes. It hurt. Come on.
I think that's it.
No, it'll leash. Go. Do it. Make it leash. Oh. Ow. Okay, go ahead. Go on. Do it.
That's it. I got to hold it. There's no strap back there.
Yeah, there's a clown over here. Listen. And do it. Can do it. Don't be afraid, you clown. Just do it.
All right, you're almost locked in.
So, I just... McBone, what the f*** are you doing? Okay.
This is for Sony Michelle. It was a good pick.
Take the pictures. Take the pictures. I'm the horse, McBone. The paper is Jesus.
This is for blaming the refs.
The refs gave me that game.
This is for Sony Michelle.
Okay, that's it.
Tim McCone getting a little frisky there.
There was actually some pain.
The riding crop.
He brought a riding crop, and he said he stopped at a novelty store, but tells me that was...
It's from the mild-mannered McCone collection.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Coming up on the off-air show, the dark side of McBone.
He was slapping me a little bit. He had a hard time putting it on. I was just trying to... squabbling there a little bit over the ball gag. But anyway, that's over. Okay, so enough of that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.